B-Pod Studios.
It's 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpulese Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. All right, our guest to lead off the 3 o'clock hour. A very well-respected man in NFL circles, working for the NFL Network and also with a local pedigree. He, of course, is the great Mike Garofalo. Michael, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, Mikey. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually confident about the Eagles, and it doesn't seem like everybody else in America is outside of this area. Two straight weeks, total lack of respect. So I got to ask you, as a guy who analyzes the league, have they not shown to be a viable contender at this point?
I think there's that game in New Orleans is a 4 o'clock national game, so it got a lot of play. Nationally, and it was such a spanking, man. It was minus 41. How are you going to go from minus 41 to plus one? You know, like I'm just giving you the national view on things,
yeah.
You know, cause that's what sticks in people's minds. And listen, nationally, and I know there's people in Foles' corner who can't figure it out, but nationally, people still doubt Nick Foles. You know, he's locked in right now. He was locked in last year. You know, they'll look back to, well, you know, earlier in his career, that Rams year, or, you know, early this season, you know, all the, they'll reach for anything they can to say that, you know, well, he's still not an elite caliber quarterback, but, you know, that's probably why you guys are confident.
Well, here's the thing. I understand how they got drummed by New Orleans in the past. This is a completely different face, this team. I don't know what transformed them. I don't know if number nine taking a snap transformed them, but they seem to be transformed on both sides of the ball. Do they not?
You can talk about the offense all you want, but the story of this team right now is how well the defense is playing. And Jim Schwartz touched on it today a little bit in his press conference, and I remember talking to Fletcher Cox about this a couple of weeks ago, saying, you know, honestly, I didn't figure out how Michael Bennett rushes until recently. And now that I know what he's doing, that affects what I'm doing. And so that was all kind of happening up front a little bit with some of these pieces up front. And, you know, not just in the passing game, in the run game. I mean, I really feel like they're all really have come together. Not like they have a ton of new faces in the front seven, but just enough that they were trying to find their chemistry and where they were this year. And I think that that's the biggest key for them, not just getting after the passer, but also in the run game, and certainly what they've been able to do up there up front. And that's, if you're looking for a reason to believe why they can do this, it's really on that side of the ball. And frankly, the other thing is what's happened in the secondary. And I know these guys like Avonte Maddox and Cravon LeBlanc have gotten a ton of respect the last couple of weeks here. They really have been playing well, and LeBlanc has been a huge key for them. They needed a guy like that.
All right, so now they're going to face a guy who's obviously a Hall of Fame player, maybe one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. So yeah. How do you play this with Drew Brees if you're Jim Schwartz?
You got to realize that they're going to hit some plays. They're going to hit some big plays down the field, and you can't let it break you. You can't give them more than they're going to get on their own, and that means, you know, whether it's a missed tackle or a blown assignment. And look, I praised those guys in the secondary, but there were a couple of double moves there. Was it Maddox on the last
yes.
side? That had a problem.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, there's a lot of that stuff. Not necessarily double moves, but route combinations that are going to force a cornerback to make a decision. And if he makes the wrong one, it's going to look bad. And so your guys are going to have to be on their keys to limit those plays as much as possible, those chunk plays. And you better hope that when you do blitz, you get home. That's the problem is if Brees sees it coming and if Peyton makes the right play call in the right situation where it's a quick release play, it's not going to matter if your guy's coming because he's not going to get there. So you're really going to, they're all going to have to be on their game. They're going to have to be calling the right plays in the right spots, and they need to make sure they limit those chunk plays like I'm talking
about. It's probably not a good idea to blitz this guy and put some inexperienced guys on an island as well as they've been playing, I would guess.
You can't not blitz, right?
Well, he doesn't. He doesn't blitz a lot. So I don't know why he would start now and, you know, against an all-world quarterback who can expose a blitz.
Well, and this is why it's like, you know, we sit here and, oh, they should blitz more and they should not blitz more. And should, you know, there's so much that goes into when a guy is making a call during a game in 40 seconds, which has got to feel like 10 seconds to these guys when they're calling a game, realizing, okay, where are they? What part of the field? What are their tendencies when they're around midfield, backed up in the red zone, whatever, and figuring out, okay, am I going to have enough time to get home right here? That's going to be that's the chess match within the game. And I've said this, I got to go back and look, but Sean Payton on a bye when he's got more time to prepare, there may not be anybody better in the league, man. I have seen some whoopings that he has put on teams when he's coming out of the bye, just because everything that you thought you had tendency-wise on a guy, he breaks it all because he self-scouted himself.
All right, well, that would explain the 8 points. So, I get it, but I don't get it. I think this team now, with this quarterback, the way they're playing, is a completely different team, and I would not be surprised to see them pull off another one. I mean, I know you're probably not feeling that right now, right?
Listen, I'm not feeling the other way. I'll tell you that. Anybody who thinks they're going to walk in and get their doors blown off again is mistaken, because this team is just playing too well. The thing about them is that what they struggled with early in the season was getting on teams early and getting out in front and playing from in front. And that's been a big difference for these guys. I go back to that Rams game. What was the score before the Rams started to make it more respectable? They were up a couple of scores in that game, right?
Yeah,
it was third quarter. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. So it was 30-13 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what this team did not do well early in the season. And I thought they did, even though they didn't get up big on Chicago, the way they came out in that first drive and started clicking, it was like, okay, you could see right away they're going to control the tempo and the Bears are going to have to come from behind in this game. If they can do that to these guys, obviously that's a huge key.
All right, before I get to going around the rest of the games, and I want to talk about a couple of games in particular, let's get into the daily argument that we have here with the people most of the day. If this guy, this quarterback, pulls this off again, where do you stand on the future?
Me or the team?
Well, you. You, because the team probably is on the win side, right? Because that's
yeah. But put a button there. Like, this one's much different, right? They go in there and they beat the Saints in New Orleans in the Superdome. And he's a huge reason why, barring a 6-3 game or something ridiculous where it's just a defensive game or whatever. You know, if he goes in there and he plays, you know, every one of these games, Mike, is making them say, all right, let me put it to you this way. From my understanding, everybody, Foles is gone. And even my buddy Ian Rappaport, my coworker, was talking about how they're going to trade him in the offseason. Inside that building, and in large part because they don't have to make these calls right now, but inside that building, it's like, we haven't made any decisions. We haven't, you know, can we bring them both back? Can we figure that out? Can we, you know, whatever. Like, nobody's sitting there saying, okay, Nick Foles is done with us as soon as he's gone in the next couple of games. It's just, we're going to see how it plays out. If he wins the friggin' Super Bowl and he's won back-to-back, they're going to have some serious conversations with themselves. I still, to me, this is the way that I've explained it, and I've been passionate in my defense of Carson Wentz, and don't misconstrue that as me batting down Nick Foles or making any comment on Nick Foles, because I was merely responding to the fact that people were like, well, we got to move on from this Wentz guy. We can't trust him. He can't stay healthy. He doesn't, you know, he forces things too much, but whatever they were saying. It's not a 10-game decision. It's a 10-year decision, okay? So that's what the Eagles are looking at. And you could sit there and say, well, they're playing so much better now in this season with Foles. I'm not going to argue with you on that. We can talk about why that's the case with Wentz, but in the long scheme here, they're looking at the long haul, you still got to be behind Carson Wentz as your franchise quarterback.
All right. See, the Missinelli plan is... Uh-huh. You keep Foles, if this happens, you keep Foles, you get a bounty for Wentz, and then you've got 3 to 4 years to find another franchise quarterback. And you know somebody's going to pop up there in the next 3 or 4 years that you can
take. But what's the walk me through it. What's the upside there?
The upside is you get a lot for Wentz. You've got.
But
you're now,
not thinking that Foles is your quarterback for
4 years,
5 to 7 years. Why would you go back to borrow time?
Because you can develop another guy who doesn't have to play right away as long as you have Foles as your starter.
But you've already got that guy.
You may have that guy. We don't really know, do we? Do we really know for sure?
No, you never know for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there's always another guy.
Cliff Kingsbury's getting hired by the Cardinals as we speak. I'm going to go on the air in about a half an hour here, and they're going to ask me if that's going to be a good hire. I have no idea. I'm going to give you my best guess.
Well, listen.
And hopefully nobody remembers if I'm wrong.
In 2020, there's going to be 5 quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks in the draft. And we don't know which one's going to play out, but...
Okay. I mean, if Nick Foles leads you to the NFC Championship game and you're in the back end of the first round and you're giving back all that capital that you got for Wentz just to get up and get another...
But that's why you get the number one picks now for Wentz and you store them.
You don't know.
You got collateral.
Listen, we can spin our wheels on that. You know what I'm saying? I get it. And I love the conversation. I do. I really do. And here's the other thing. And I'm not sitting here saying Carson Wentz is perfect and all that. But listen, I would hope that he's sitting there watching and saying and doing an honest assessment, not just sitting there and saying, "Oh, this is frustrating. I wish I was in there." But okay, what is Nick Foles doing that he's successful at that maybe I'm not doing and I'm not as successful at? Is it the way he's throwing the balls? Is it the way he's handling the offense and the huddle and all this stuff? Is it overall approach to the game? Whatever. Like, that's what you would hope is going on right now. And I'm sure it is.
All right, so they can't lose either way. But I'm saying it's hard to turn away from
lose.
Yeah, but it's hard to turn away from a guy who wins 2 straight Super Bowls. All right, quickly on the rest of the card here.
Yeah.
Which team you see is more susceptible to be upset? Because I've got my eye on a game in Foxborough.
Do you really?
Yes,
you're
I do.
That Chargers. Yeah,
I kind of like it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, we're going to take the cheese one way or the other, and the cheese could be, oh, well, the Chiefs on a bye. They're going to come out flat. The Colts are playing great defense. They can keep everything in front. Or the other cheese is, well, the Patriots, not the kind of team that they usually look like. Mm-hmm. But one of them is going to be right. I think one of them is going to be cheese. And I think the Patriots one is the one that's going to be right. I agree with you, Michael. How about that?
Wow,
I think the Colts
amazing.
Might be the cheese.
All right. Well, so I might have to, make a few snaps on my phone here in a couple
I
seconds.
No comment.
I hear you. Mike Garfalo, always a pleasure from the NFL Network. Good talking to you, brother.
You got it, pal. Thank you.
There he is, Mike Garfalo from the NFL Network. And there he is. He's got the game that I like. I might be getting on another hot streak because I took Clemson outright last night. Outright. And it was a rocking chair ride, Tyrone.
Yeah, they spanked. And I was so happy that Saban finally, after abusing a media, abusing assistant coaches, he had to look at himself after that one. That fake punt, that fake field goal.
Yeah.
He had to actually look inside for the first time in a decade.
Yeah, but they still couldn't give Clemson credit. Tua, at the press conference, it wasn't one thing they did. It was like, we didn't finish this and we didn't do that. They ripped you apart defensively.
No, they absolutely...
They confused that kid to the point where he didn't know what to do.
Absolutely. They saw that what he's really good at anticipating, which is going to pay dividends down the road. But because he's so young, he anticipates wrong. And he assumed it was single coverage. He threw it right to the guy on that second pick. And the first one, he just let somebody jumping out. Can't do that.
Poor Nick. I guess the Bama dynasty's done.
Could be.
It's good. Ted in Fishtown. Ted, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ted.
Hey, Mikey. How you doing?
What's up, Ted?
We're bearing witness to something biblical here.
Well, I've been saying that. I've become a re-believer.
It's true. It has me wanting to break out the hammer and chisel and recarve my quarterback totem pole for the Eagles.
Oh, you have a quarterback totem pole?
Yes, I do.
Just put a Mary on the lawn. A Mary's good. A nice Mary would be good.
There you go. But I got it. Nick Foles, number one. Randall, number two. Jaworski, three. AJ Feely, four. Cui Detmer, five. And Mike Vick, then McNabb.
Come on, man. That's ridiculous. Seriously, is he seriously ranking the quarterbacks that way?
Can you do better?
Wait, you got McNabb 7th? Seriously?
No, I'm only kidding.
All right,
McNabb has fallen a couple spots. He has fallen.
He has fallen from what to what? He's still number one.
I can't put
Foles at number one right now.
I'm doing it. Like I said, it's something biblical.
All right,
once
Ted.
Once in a lifetime thing we're watching.
All right, buddy. You got it. Nick Foles, number one. Well, we've heard that before on this very show.
Yes, we have.
Tony in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
What's up, Mikey Mez?
What's up, Tony? How you doing?
Listen, man, let me tell you something. It's ludicrous, insane to think about trading Carson Wentz. Let me tell you why. How quickly people forget how many games he won last year to get them close to the dance.
Won 11 of 13.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles is a relief pitcher. He's a closer. That's exactly what he is. He's going to give you four or five strong games. That's exactly what he is. It's insane to think about trading in Wentz. Wentz, for me, as a player, I played high school ball. I coached Little League. I coached high school ball. He got that fire in his eyes. He got the Drew Brees eyes. I love that fire. All he got to learn is poise and a little touch. That's all he needs. But he lost his quarterback coach, he lost his offensive coordinator, and he was rushed back too early. And for me, even though he wouldn't play, I'd suit him up this week as reassurance. I would. And something tells me, down the stretch, they're going to have to come back to Wentz again. I really believe that with all my heart.
Well, it may happen the way you say, and everything you say is not inaccurate. However, you can't deny that this team's transformation, in a large part, is because they've responded with Nick Foles as the quarterback.
I think they woke up late.
But the quarterback is performing at the highest level possible 2 straight years. You can't ignore that.
I know, but that's his role. That's his role.
You think it's easy to do that as a quarterback in the NFL? It's not like you have to get 3 outs. You have to play an entire game.
No, but that's in his role. But when he left and went and he was the starting quarterback, what happened?
That was a long time ago.
But that doesn't matter.
It does matter. Do you know how it's like a fine wine, Tony? It tastes a little better when you leave it on the rack for a little bit.
Yeah, well, what's been on the rack for a minute, haven't he?
Listen to me. If this guy wins another Super Bowl, there is no way
you can give the job back to Wentz. Mike, I have the utmost respect for you, but it is crazy to think about.
It's not crazy if you study the three branches of Mike. There's logical branches as you can get. One, the team responds to a guy who's won 2 Super Bowls. 2, you get a lot for Wentz. 3, you got a lot of time to find another franchise quarterback. What is missing? What is missing? The only part that's missing is, well, you might not be able to find a franchise quarterback. There's a franchise quarterback that pops out of the blue every year.
Well, that's one of the issues. The other one is he good enough to do it from week one? We have not seen that. We have not ever seen that. And you're jumping to he can do it. Fine. But everyone doesn't have to jump there. We don't all have to do that.
We got caught in this trap yesterday where you're trying to prognosticate. I deal with the tangible. The tangible is the guy has won 2 Super Bowls. I can't then say, here's your little bag and stick. Walk up the road.
You can and you should. That's what Belichick would do.
You can't do it.
It's the only way.
Belichick has Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's different.
Brady.
We don't even know if Wentz is a franchise quarterback. We don't know that yet. We're predicting. We're assuming he's a franchise quarterback.
And you're assuming he can do it from week one. You've never seen it. Well, and now you're assuming he can.
You're assuming that he would be better as a franchise quarterback than anybody else that you can select in a draft over the next 3 or 4 years.
And you don't know that. And develop. You can't just say, oh, because you drafted him, he's going to be a franchise guy. Like, you don't like Sam Darnold. I do.
He was a top five pick.
He didn't play well in your eyes. I think he played well, but
he stinks. You're missing.
He can really play.
He stinks. You're missing the third branch. The third branch is you would have time to develop a guy who doesn't have to start right away.
And I'm saying that if he can't do it from week one, then that branch is broken because then you don't have time. And that's the part I question because he's never done it. He's never started in week one, and finish the season. He's never done it in his life.
Would you agree that we have currently a higher opinion of Carson Wentz right now than we possibly should? And that the real way we look at Carson Wentz is what he might be able to do in the future?
No, I look at what he did this year on one leg, and I'm very impressed with it. I'm impressed with what he did against Dallas in that fourth quarter. I'm not thinking about any projections. Right. I see that ball come out of his hand. I see him, and I go, I want that guy with my team.
That's fair. I just asked the question. You answered it. You've seen enough to know that he's a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
I may have seen enough, too. And he will be my franchise quarterback if this thing ends this week. But if he gets to the NFC title game and they win that game, guess what?
I get it. And hey, maybe I come over to your side. Maybe I'm just still I'm still taking it week to week. I actually am a little angered.
Taking it week to week too. I'm saying if we move forward time, the three branches of Mike apply. Three branches of Mike right now are a seedling.
I will say that you at least laid out a plan. Other people call it and talk about how Wentz stinks. And you're not doing that. And there are people who call with that. The Mike plan.
I always have a plan. It's well thought out. It's logical.
It's a good plan. It is a fair plan. Good plan.
Thank you. I'm like the captain in Saving Private Ryan. I had the plan. Tom Hanks, brilliant performance.
Oh boy!
It was.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, we haven't talked about him in a while.
That was his best performance.
Was it? Okay, I can go with that. Okay.
Now it wasn't Forrest Gump, but it was a pretty good performance.
You never can get through without taking a shot.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
St. Nick Talk. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum over two decades, helping our community. Eagles gear up to face New Orleans on Sunday. Doug Peterson addressed the media yesterday on his on-field dialogue with Nick Foles.
The conversation is just that. It's open. It's honest. It's real. It's based on what he's seeing, based on what we're seeing as coaches, what I'm seeing as a play caller. And, you know, if the instinct is right, if the gut feel is right, go with it.
Val Pal checks in with Mike at 5:15. Sixers start their back-to-back mission against the Wizards tonight at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers fell to the Blues last night 3-0. They play the Caps tonight. You can hear that game on WMMR at 7. Clemson beat Alabama last night 44-16 in the college football playoff national championship game. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. It's Dollar Coffee Time at Wawa for a limited time. Any size Wawa coffee, any flavor, any way you like it is just $1. So come into Wawa and get your dollar coffee today. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah, 3:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and it's time for a Twitter poll update on the half hour, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Today's poll was, does the national doubt / Vegas opinion even bother you anymore? Over 1,400 votes on this, a resounding 91% say no, 9% say yes.
91?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
Hey, I know they're worried. I know they're concerned.
That's what I mean.
About the national perception.
Yeah,
91% of people lying. Now, maybe 87 of that 91% are lying.
Yeah, that troubles me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, we haven't risen, we haven't rose above that. We're still bothered by that.
Yes. Yeah, we are. Okay, so I have to remind you, 4 o'clock, you know what's happening. The keyword. Keyword giveaway. 4K, 5K a day, Big Green giveaway. It's a nationwide contest here. Yeah, we're going to give you a keyword at 4 o'clock, and you have to enter it on the Fanatic app or on our website, 97.5.com, by 4:15 p.m. We're going to call you for randomly selected. We had three winners yesterday. You win $1,000. And all of the $1,000 winners will be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize at the end of the contest in February. Complete contest rules are available at 975thefanatic.com. It's brought to you by turnersvillejeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest-growing Jeep dealer. So apparently we had a situation last night, a Flyers broadcast, where an open mic caught some things that probably wouldn't have otherwise been said publicly.
Really?
What happened?
Yeah. Well, you know how you go to a commercial and you sometimes editorialize. Apparently, yes. The broadcasting team last night editorialized for some things that were not exactly pro-Flyer.
Huh.
It's like, I understand the one guy said, no team.
Gotta stop.
Well, we stink. So something like that it was, I believe.
Well,
no,
it's getting tough. It's probably getting a little tough for them.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Definitely getting tough for them.
Yeah.
The Flyers have never really hit bottom.
I got caught with a hot microphone once.
What'd you say?
Well, we got on live TV.
What did you say?
I was doing this thing for Fox, where I was on their news. They would come in here and put a camera on me at the last break of the show.
Okay.
At 5:40.
Yeah.
And then we'd do this Q&A with whoever was the anchor. And when they were doing the Q&A with me, the sound was messed up where it was echoing. So everything I said would echo back to me, and everything they would say would echo, and I really couldn't understand. Well, it was like a total mess. So when we got off the air, I yelled into my producer something, a choice word, and they hadn't cut off my microphone yet. So they continued on with the news.
And then it was just you yelling?
And in the background, it's me throwing an F-bomb in there.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, was that was on them, though. Did you know that your mic was still on?
No.
Right.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'm the one that got caught.
True.
Yeah, people just remember what was said, exactly. Not why it was said.
Right.
That's good for the Flyers people, though. I'm liking that.
You are?
Yeah, because it was a cliche. If you want to say it's a stereotype, if Flyers fans want to say it's not true, fine. I'm not going to argue. But there was this feeling that it was a Stepford type of situation with Flyers fans. Yeah. And I'm glad that that's all fallen away. And because that means that the fan base, they reflect back what they're receiving as well, and what they're saying, and what the Flyers are putting out is unacceptable. So if they're saying it, the fans are saying it, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but they're not saying it on the air. They got caught saying it off the air. So yeah, they're still staying positive on the air.
I don't know if they're staying positive. They maybe wouldn't say some of those things because they have to deal with the people individually, so it's tough to do. But I do like that they're fed up with it because we all seven in a row? Seven losses in a row?
Yeah, it's a mess.
Come on.
It's messy. All right, let's go to Inge and King of Prussia. Why? But go ahead. go ahead, Inge.
Look, I completely don't understand people. If Nick Foles wins two Super Bowls, how you can't be on board. And I think I have a reason for Tyrone. The reason why he doesn't want to give Nick Foles credit is because of number five. That was his boy. And he doesn't want anyone.
No, he likes Wentz.
Him as the greatest.
No, he likes Wentz. He likes Wentz. Liking Wentz chisels at the legacy of five.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
To get rid of Foles.
I don't think he did like five, to be honest with you. Tyrone, you weren't a big five fan.
No, I was okay with five.
Yeah, he wasn't a big five fan. So I think you're off base with that. But go ahead with your next point.
Your next point is this. Dude, I got to tell you. Watching that Bears game, that told you that Foles was an elite quarterback.
He won the last drive, he threw two interceptions early.
No, throwing those two picks. Like, anyone can make a three-pointer if they shoot 8 for 12, right? But if those are the shooter that goes 2 for 15 and makes the game-winning shot is the real shooter, correct, in basketball? But that's exactly what I saw.
I would say no. throwing those two picks and coming back and leading that game-winning drive.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I actually agree with you for the first time maybe in 17 years and, that I've been doing this. But go ahead.
Hey, Mike, let me give you a compliment.
What?
You always agree with the bow, with the cuz. And for you to drift apart, because he loves Wentz, shows a little bit of maturity for
you.
Yeah,
I don't always agree with him.
I thought Tyrone only, you know, hated Foles was because of the whole McNabb, the black.
Why do you got to go racial? This is exactly what you do all the time. You go and you don't even realize you're being insensitive. Why don't you grow up and be a human being, Iggy?
I am. You're not.
You're an idiot. You consistently show that's the only reason. He just got done. He's the greatest quarterback. You were wrong, so apologize.
Okay. Or Cunningham, Randall Cunningham.
All right, go. Enough.
Randall? I've never even talked about Randall on this program.
You give him enough rope, and he's always going to go with the racial angle, whether it's call me a Goomba or whatever. He always goes there. The guy's now, I don't know, how old is Iggy? He's old enough to know better.
He's over 40.
Yeah, become a human being, brother.
He's over 40?
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Wait.
Now, real fast, just so I lay it all out. I really think Carson Wentz is a great quarterback.
Uh-huh.
McNabb, I have number one all time, but I didn't like McNabb because he's not a very likable guy.
Right.
I don't hate Foles. The only hate I have is the Folesian society. The Foles fans, if you want to say I hate them, I cannot argue. I do have some hatred for the Foles fans. I do. But I don't hate Foles.
Why? Because they are over the top in praise of Foles?
Why? They're zealots.
Why do you hate them?
They are zealots.
They are zealots, one.
And, keep with the theme. Yeah, they're zealots.
One, they're zealots. Two, they root for Foles more than they root for the Eagles themselves.
Yeah.
And three,
because they think they've discovered Foles.
Right.
It's natural. It's human behavior. It's natural human instinct.
Right, but I'm enjoying, when the Eagles won, when that field goal was missed, I was like, yes, the Eagles won. Folesians were like, yes, Foles won. And that I don't understand. The Eagles won. The Eagles won a playoff game. I'm excited about that. I'm an Eagles fan.
Here's what you need to know about the Folesian society. They're saying to you, ha, 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 I saw something you didn't. It's a badge of honor for them.
Well,
if you can look at it that way, you can put it in perspective.
I think they also want Ty to give Foles credit.
He won the Super Bowl. Have I ever said he'd win the Super Bowl?
I feel like they probably think that you don't give Foles enough credit.
Well, I didn't either.
Right.
Until, my eyes have seen the light.
Yeah.
So, simple as that. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philly.
Mike Missanelli. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
3:45, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Yeah, I was thinking about if, just a weird thought came into my head, if somebody came down and said you could be somebody else right now in your life, if you want, man, you could be a lot younger and you could be somebody, who would it be? You know, it would be for me? I'd be Trevor Lawrence.
Hard to beat that right now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it, can you?
Well,
you get the world by the couillons at this point.
It'd be nice if he could get paid to do it, but yeah.
First of all, his name's Trevor.
Yeah.
Which is a cool white man name.
That is. It is. No, it is.
I'm jealous of the name Trevor.
Really?
I can't have a name like Trevor. You know, like
no.
Trevor Lawrence. It's a perfect four-syllable configuration. You can't do it with Missanelli.
It's a very good quarterback name, too.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great quarterback name.
I have a small pool of names that would connect with my last name. But if you go, if you're like the non-ethnic name, Trevor works with anything.
Not strong. He'll be a good pitch man. Like, if Nike signs him, the mm-hmm. Nike commercial with Trevor, that really, mm-hmm. Gatorade, it's all going to fit. Yeah, he's living. I mean, and now.
Candy and co-eds, brother.
I just can't imagine. When he gets back to campus, because they're all the way in California. When he gets back to campus, I just can't imagine.
Doesn't he have a girlfriend?
Yeah. Sure he does. I can't imagine what his world. I mean, she was at the game. She's gonna have to understand. Yeah, she's gonna have to understand. Yeah, there was no Musburger, so they didn't perv out. But yeah, she was there. they just showed her like a normal person, and kept cutting back to her.
She's a nice kid.
Yeah, I hope she just understands.
Satisfies his freshman insecurities.
Yeah, I just hope she just says, you know what, honey, be discreet. We're in college. Let's be smart about this. Like, I hope she has that attitude and not the hard line attitude, because otherwise she's about to be heartbroken.
Well, she's going to hear the following phrase soon. I think we should see other people.
Yeah. It's unfair to you, really, because I'm so busy.
It is.
I'm getting pulled in all these directions.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, he's going, yeah. So I hope she should preempt that and call him now and say, look, I understand. Discretion.
Oh, Trevor. Ed in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Hi, Mike.
What's going on, Ed?
I was talking to you yesterday, and we got cut off here. But on that Unitas thing, Unitas did win a Super Bowl 2 years later. And when Don Shula went down to Miami, he brought Earl Morrow with him. And when his quarterback got hurt, he finally put him in.
Yeah, okay. All right, it's okay. It's, all right. Well, the Unitas conversation is, but I
not,
get you.
I'm not right. sitting here saying that Wentz should go in for Foles. Okay. Foles definitely earned what he has. And there's no way that Wentz could come in and, I think, do the job at the very end.
Yeah.
I'm almost beginning to believe your tree now.
You got to believe the tree, brother.
I guess it's a good thing one way or another. But, and the strangest things can happen no matter which way it goes.
Yes.
But there's a lot of sense to what you're saying. I mean, if they can get draft picks.
All right, cut the music. You just said that make a lot of sense. All right, no more music.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Keep talking, yeah. Ed. I like it.
Well, I don't know how much keep calling in here.
All right, so what year are you saying that he won the Super Bowl again?
Who, Unitas?
Yes. And what year was that? Was he replaced by Earl Morrow?
Unitas won the Super Bowl. It would have been 2 years after the Jet game.
So that was...
So about 68, 71.
68, he only played five games. 69, he was 7-5-1. It's 1970, he was 10-2-1. Is that the year you're talking about?
Yeah, it must have been.
They won a Super Bowl there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he did get knocked out of the game.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we can go over the Johnny Unitas career at this particular stage.
It's very important today.
Yes. Yes.
2019.
Yeah. Damon in West Philly are on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Dane? What's going on?
I'm good, man. Such coming off the high, yes, of Sunday's game, man. And, is Josh Allen looking to? Are they going to? Because I listened to Tyrone yesterday. Why they didn't play him? It made sense. Are they going to look to play him this week?
Who?
Josh Adams.
Why?
Well, because I like him, and I know. but no, not just that. Here's the thing, Mike. First of all, I know the running game wasn't as effective, but in a sense, it was because they continued to.
They continue to run the ball, yes.
Right, to set up the other.
Yeah.
But here's why I really ask that question is because I think that the Bears' defense is the best defense they're going to see all playoffs.
Okay.
And so
it's a little more leeway for the kid to make mistakes against this defense?
No, just another another hour. But I didn't call to talk about Josh Adams. I just called to talk about the whole team.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing.
Let me just say this about Josh Adams. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm trying to make myself a coach here. To me, in a serious playoff game, I would also fear him putting the ball on the carpet. And I can't afford that. And if I don't have that kind of trust, which they obviously don't, they'd rather go with the more seasoned guys. I think that's what it is.
That's fair. And he's a rookie. He's a walker. I get it. But here's the other thing, too, that I'm appreciating. Like, so we know it's not going to be a 48-7 game. And I spoke to my brother-in-law last night, another buddy of mine, and I just broke it down. Mike, I like us. Here's the reason why. We're clearly a different team, both offensively and defensively.
Yes.
And if I can remember, Tate had just gotten there when we played the Saints the first time, like a week or two.
Uh-huh.
So he's acclimated into the offense. Aguilar's awakened. I mean, you still have the two tight ends. I just like how we're playing, man. I think we're going to go down there. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. But I've often said this in sports, not just because I'm an Eagles fan. I said this on another show on 975. You never count out the champ. And when you listen to these guys, something clicked, Mike.
I agree with you. I can't count them out. I just can't. I've seen enough now where I'd look like an idiot if I saw that Saints win this game easy. It's not going to happen that way.
It's not going to happen, Mike. So, Mike, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, baby.
All right, you got it. Appreciate the call. Jim in Havertown from Ingy to Jim in the same half hour. This is like a whirlwind situation here. Jim, you're only
that.
Four calls removed. You can't curse. Did he just?
Yes.
He did?
Yeah.
I think he started and then he was like, oh, yeah, no.
He only got out. Here's the problem. He only self-edited him on the part that wasn't the curse. He said the curse and then edited out the part that wasn't the curse. Come on, buddy. You edit out the first part, the second part.
Okay.
Take a deep breath. Yeah. We'll be all right, everybody. We're going to be all right.
Ingy Jim. Yes, sir. It's an exacta. 610-632-0975. Somebody said that I had another F-bomb slip on the air when I had... No, I don't think I did. Nah. Said it was after I had my contentious interview with Keith Law of ESPN. I don't know, maybe.
No.
Who knows?
We had the
guy must have... The guy said he heard it.
Yeah, you had one other one.
I had a contentious interview with Keith Law.
Yeah.
I remember it was over. He was touting some Yankee prospect who never made it to the big leagues. And I was saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And he got mad at that. I forget who the guy's name was. He was like a Yankee catcher prospect. Anyway, it's Mike Mussinelli Show. We're back for the 4 o'clock hour. And don't forget the 5K a day keyword coming up at 4. We have Sal Powell a little later. Back after this.
Bring on the Saints. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Turn your passion for sports into a career. Check out a studio tour at a Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Cherry Hill. Visit csb.com to reserve your spot. Eagles gear up to face New Orleans on Sunday. Doug Peterson spoke yesterday on the preparation.
You got to look at it from just X's and O's, pure X's and O's. And it's good to have played them, you know, because then you get that on tape. You got us versus them on tape, and you can go back and review and use it more as a resource.
Sal Powell checks in with the mic today at 5:15. Sixers start their back-to-back mission against the Wizards tonight at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers fell to the Blues last night 3-0. They play the Caps tonight. You can hear that game at 7 on WMMR. Clemson beat Alabama last night 44-16 in the college football playoff national championship. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily best of show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.